Thanks for joining us for the Cornerstone Community Church Sermon Podcast. This week, we continue our series called Social Faith, and we look at how we can navigate faith and friends. In our crazy world that's full of problems, our problems should draw us closer to God and closer to each other. Let's turn toward Him and learn what it means to follow Jesus together. Thanks for joining in.
I'm glad you have joined us here at Cornerstone. Again, just welcome to you guys joining us online, and I'm just so thankful you took part of your Sunday morning to join in with us and listen in and worship with us today. And I'm excited about this series we're in, Social Faith. And as I've said in the other weeks, this is really something that applies to everyone, not just people on social media, because whether we communicate through text or email or phone calls or in person, these principles apply to all of us. I do have a few quick announcements this morning just to share. Our community meal is coming up on the last Wednesday of the month, so stay tuned for info about how we'll be doing that this month. We do have youth tonight for 7th through 12th grade. Our student ministries is meeting. They're meeting outside 8 to 9 p.m. late, so they can just kind of gather around the fire pit outside and just kind of space out and have a good time tonight. So that's 8 to 9. The youth Facebook page will have the information about that. Or you could just comment and let us know. We'll get you the information you need. And for those who are still watching online, let me encourage you to do something. Let me encourage you, and whether it's your family members that you're around on a regular basis or maybe some friends that you have been in contact with, get together and watch together. I think that's a good thing to do. And if you're not able to do that, at least share this feed with someone. Share this the video this morning with someone, a friend or a family member, and let's share this together, because I think this morning is a message that really will be important. I want to thank you guys for staying safe. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to create an environment where we can still gather to worship and do it in as safe as way as possible. And that means that we're still trying to do everything we can to wear a mask and keep our distance and to wash our hands and use the hand sanitizer. And all those things help lower our risk. I know it doesn't completely eliminate it, but let's do everything we can. Galax, the last few weeks, we've seen the rate infections the COVID numbers, we've seen it kind of slow down a little bit, but the surrounding counties are going up now, and so we're still in a crisis here, and we need to be in a lot of prayer for our school systems, right? As they start making preparations and trying to figure out what to do, is the schools going back, not just our schools, but we need to be in prayer for our healthcare workers. We need to be in prayer for our first responders. This is just such a strange time that we're living in. I think when we started this, we had all hoped it would be over really quickly. I remember, you know, when we first kind of shut down in March, we're like, okay, hopefully by Easter we'll be meeting back in person. And then we're 4 months later and things still aren't back to normal, right? And we don't, there's really not an end in sight to this either. So it's like trying to figure out what this is going to look like long term. And I think for all of us, the number one thing we can be doing is just praying. We just need to be in prayer, because no one has gone through this before. We're all trying to figure this out together. And so let's just be praying for our community, for our leaders, for our government. The scripture tells us that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying for our leaders. They need wisdom. They need discernment. This is a time to put politics aside and let's figure out what needs to be done so we can get back to some semblance of normal as quickly as possible. But that's really, I think, you know, I just want to share that I'm thankful that many churches are doing a great job of being creative and figuring out ways to share the gospel and do it in a safe way. And that's what we're going to continue to do here at Cornerstone. The subtitle of this whole series is called Navigating Faith and Friends. And that really, in a social media world, this is becoming increasingly difficult. And I think, you know, it doesn't take long for us to look around and see what's going on to realize that people are pretty divided right now. I'm reading a book called Christians in the Age of Outrage. It's a book by Ed Stetzer. He's one of my favorite authors. And the subtitle is How to Bring Out the Best When the World is at Its Worst. And I feel like that's kind of a message we need right now. It's like we need the best out of us because the world is definitely at its worst. And so it seems like everyone is outraged about something. Everybody's mad about something. Everything's politicized. Everyone's upset. I said earlier, we just see a country divided right now. My hope when the whole extent of the COVID pandemic started is that it would just bring people back to God. I really thought we had a moment in our nation that could be the catalyst of a revival that would just bring people back to church. Let's get people back together on their knees, seeking God, seeking hope, and churches would be at the forefront of that. Similar to what kind of happened at 9/11. We saw that. We saw the churches packed. We saw people coming to God. We saw Billy Graham at the National Prayer Service after that. Now, though, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I look, I don't see that happening, right? I don't see, obviously, our churches, you saw a big spike in people watching online right at first, but it just dwindled like every week. And it's not just our church, it's every church. Instead of bringing people together, instead of bringing people to God, what I've seen is people have just become angrier and more separated, more polarized. And I think a lot of that, I'm just going to be honest, I think it's an election year. I think the media is playing to that. I think politicians are playing to that. I think we're just, that's a big part of that. I really think that's what a big problem that we see. Just the debate, right, on whether or not to wear a mask online. Let's be honest. I mean, it's like every other post is, everyone needs to wear a mask or you're evil if you don't wear a mask, right? Or we shouldn't wear a mask because the government's trying to control us and you should be. I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? And then as a pastor, here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing, well, I won't come back to church until I don't have to wear a mask. And then I've got people saying, I'm not going to come to church unless you make everyone wear a mask and take temperatures and do all this stuff. And we're like, you know, it's a no-win situation. And everyone is just doing the best they can to try to figure this out. But instead of like listening and working together, people just get mad at each other. And that's what we're seeing online right now. And let me just ask you, is this like the hill that's worth dying on for us as Christians? Is this like the major issue of our day is whether or not we have to wear a mask for the next few months? You know, I'll just say, we've said it before, but in Christianity, and I don't know what pastor originally said this, or it's not original to me, but it's that, you know, Christians here in the last, especially I think 20 to 30 years, have become known more for what they're against than what they're for. And we're for Jesus, and we're for holiness, and we're for loving God and loving our neighbor, and we're for just reaching our community for Christ. We're for treating others the way we want to be treated. We're for preaching the gospel. We're for not compromising our convictions. All this stuff. And yet we let secondary issues kind of become what we're known for. We let our arguments against things becoming more important than what we're really for. And I think that's part of this series is kind of pulling us back. And next week, we're going to be jumping in and talking about how we move from social media to social ministry. Because I think that's where we're ultimately going. That's what this series is about. It's how do we move? How do we share our faith in a social media world? How do we have a social ministry mentality? And I really think this is important. And again, it's applicable whether or not you're on social media or not, because this applies to all of our communication. Here's the first question I want to ask you this morning, and it comes back to how we navigate faith and friends online. Are the relationships that we build online, are they healthy or harmful? And I want you to think about what you read online, and this may be from news, this may be from social media sites, it may be just all the different, there's lots of different sites that we're using in services. So are the relationships that you find online, are they healthy or harmful? I had a moment several years ago that really changed my perspective, and it wasn't at all about social media, it was about something else, it was about sports. And if you know me, now, some of you have known me a long time, I'm like a super competitive guy. I have to work really hard at not being like overly competitive, and it goes all the way back to when I was a kid playing sports. I got really mad if I lost. I was just driven, and sports especially, but it wasn't just sports. It was anything I did, I was competitive, and whether it was school or sports, or I just had to, I had to try to beat everyone else. That was my mentality, and it carried over even like as I had kids. You know, there's some dads that like let their kids win to build their self-esteem. That wasn't me. I'm like, you're going to lose, and I'm going to make sure you lose, and if you ever do beat me, you've earned it, okay? that was my mentality as a parent. But that competitiveness that carried over into watching sports as well. And so college football was one of the things that got me. I mean, Jennifer would tell you, I mean, the kids were like scared to come around on Saturday mornings because I was yelling so much at the TV, you know? I was into it. And when Tech would win a game, I would be, oh yeah, I would be all excited. And then when they would lose a game they were supposed to win, which happened a lot, it would just completely mess up my day and even my week. I mean, I would just be mad all week. And I heard a preacher say this, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And when he said this, he said, I am not going to let a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds, their athletic performance on the field, determine my level of joy. And when he said that, I'm like, oh, man. It was like a relief. It's like it just, you know, sometimes when you learn, I mean, what I needed to do was repent for how I was acting. But it really changed my perspective, and I was able to let go of that, and it really has made a difference, because when I step back and think, you know, it doesn't matter if they win or lose, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change what He's doing in my life, and that was like a freeing moment in my life, and I really remember that. Now, let me kind of flip that around a little bit to the world we live in today. You should not let some unhealthy individual is complaining about on social media determine your level of joy. Okay? You don't need to let what some keyboard warrior is typing in some, you know, newspaper office halfway around the world determine whether or not you are joyful. You don't need to let them steal your happiness. You don't need to let them make you miserable all day and make you fearful and scared. You need to be able to step aside and say, I know who God is, I know what He's done, and I'm not going to let what anyone else is doing kind of change my perspective on life. And when we get to that point where we can detach ourselves, we can step back from it, I'm telling you, it will make a huge difference in your life. And I think some of you really need to hear that this morning. And online, I'm just hoping that's kind of connecting with you, because this is really important. Because if there is someone unhealthy emotionally online, there are people who are trying to create drama, right? There are people who gossip. There are people who constantly complain. I sincerely think that there's some people online that just are hoping for the worst so they have something to complain about. I just think they're just feeding off that, and they're really hoping things get worse so they can say, I told you so, right? Now, I think that's going on. There are people who are angry all the time. There are people who use foul language all the time. There are people who post all sorts of false information and try to get people riled up, and we've got to step away from all of that, because if we're not careful, it's going to start robbing every bit of our joy and happiness. And some of you have already got to that point. Some of you have already got to the point like, I am fed up with what I'm reading, with what I'm watching. And the best thing you can do is to step away. And whether that's for a day or for a week or for a month or forever, if you realize it's messing your life up, you've got to have the strength and the courage to step away from that. There's some ways we can do that on social media sites. And if you've not tried these things, I can tell you I use them, and I use them a lot, and they make a big difference. There's things some sites have mute where you can just mute someone. Have you ever thought about it? Wouldn't it be nice sometimes if you had a mute button for your kids or for, mute. That's what you can do on social media, though. If someone just keeps talking, you don't want to hear them, mute. I don't need that. Or some sites have a snooze feature where you can snooze them for like 30 days. Like, they're just in a bad place, and I don't want to like get rid of them completely, but for the time being, I just need to turn them off for a while because I'm tired of listening to it. Okay? You can snooze that. And don't feel guilty when you do this stuff, right? You get to choose what you put into your mind. You get to choose what you consume. Then there's the unfollow button. This is one that I probably use a whole lot. And unfollow means you still stay friends with them, at least on Facebook. You still stay friends with them, but nothing they post shows up on your newsfeed. And so I use that. I use that a lot. And again, it's the people who are unhealthy. It's the people who are complaining, gossiping, creating drama, angry, using foul language, posting things that aren't true. I'll just unfollow them. And then finally, you can block someone. And when you block them, it removes them as a friend. It means you don't see anything by them. You don't see any comments by them. And there's some people who are just trying to, they're the trolls that I talked about last week, that you just need to do that. You just need to get rid of them completely and don't even engage, don't even listen, don't even watch. And that goes back to, are the relationships you're building healthy or harmful? And if they're harmful, instead of, like, I don't know what it is in our society, like, we feel like, I think it's just the drama. Sometimes we're drawn to it, and we feel like I've got to read it, or I know them, so I need to see what they're feeling. But we've got to be able to understand when it's doing harm to us. We've got to be able to step back from that. And that kind of brings us to our next point. Social media, it's just another tool we have to build relationships, but it can also be used to destroy friendships. And I've seen this happen a lot recently. And again, going back to all the different controversial things, there's some good things about social media. We get to know people. We get to interact. We get to share encouragement. We get to share our thoughts. But, you know, in this time, we see how the internet has really helped our culture, helped us stay connected with our out-of-town friends and family. But one thing that we know that it can be bad is it can really tear apart people that have been friends. Because you post things that maybe have not come up. You post things online that you would never say to someone in person. Right? I mean, we'll post things online and we'll just go on a huge, like, we just go and put everything. We just start preaching a sermon online sometimes. And we'll go and we put, well, I hate this and I don't like this and I can't believe this politics is happening and this. And then your friend who disagrees with you all of a sudden says, wait a minute, you believe that? I don't believe that. And now the people are mad at each other. And instead, if you're sitting at a table having coffee together and you brought up things like this, you would be able to listen and respond. But on social media, it's just blast, right? Everything's on full blast. And so what we see is people losing friendships over what they post, whether it's your opinion about the virus, your opinion about masks, about politics, about the election, about racial tensions, whatever it is. It's like, again, we live in this culture of outrage. And so I wanted to, this morning, to kind of step back. What are some ways that we're seeing social media hurt our relationships? What are some of the ways we're seeing social media destroy our friendships? And I think there's some very valid biblical principles here that I want to dive into. And so there's three ways that I've seen that you can destroy your friendships online that are really happening a lot right now. The first is gossip. First is just simply gossip. In today's age, it's amazing how fast gossip can be spread. You'll find out what you're thinking and feeling online before you even know you thought and felt it yourself. Especially in Galax. Let's be honest. Right? It's absolutely amazing the speed at which gossip is spread. And you can call it a prayer request, but it's still gossip. Right? What is gossip? It's sharing stuff about other people without their permission. It's sharing things that you would never say to someone's face. It's sharing a problem with someone who doesn't have the power or authority to fix the problem. And I'm telling you, much of what is shared online is flat out gossip. There is no place for it on social media or in person. And the Bible is so clear about this. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling and jealousy and anger and selfishness and slander and gossip and arrogance and disorderly behavior." Now look at that list a little bit. Are those good things? I mean, this is quarreling, jealousy, anger. But now, I'm just kind of go with me here. "For I'm afraid when I come, I won't like what I find on Facebook." And you won't like my response. "I'm afraid that I will find on Facebook quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior." Doesn't that apply? I mean, not just Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is, this is the problem we have with social media. It's given us a way to quickly disseminate gossip. It's given us a platform to share things that we shouldn't be sharing. And yet we see people do it. Ephesians 4, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Proverbs 11:13, "A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence." Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a moment when you realized you shared something that you weren't supposed to share? Right? That's a bad feeling when you share something and, you didn't know that? Maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry, just act like you didn't hear that. I mean, if we're trustworthy, we've got to be able to keep confidence in what people tell us. And Proverbs 16 says this, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and gossip separates the best of friends." Over the years, I can tell you this has happened over and over again with people in church and people I know and people I've counseled. You see people who are really good friends, and now they're not talking or they've grown apart, and you kind of start digging into the root of it, and you find out something was shared that shouldn't have been shared, and someone got their feelings hurt, and they were upset, and they got mad about it, and they've just grown apart. This is what gossip does. And gossip is destructive. It's one of those weird sins that for most people, they don't think it's a sin. Most people don't even realize it's a sin. And so they think, I'm just sharing. What I'm sharing is true. It can be true and you still gossip, right? I mean, this is just something we've got to understand. Here's what I want you to know. Gossip is not an acceptable sin. And that's the way most people view it. And for us to put a stop to it, we've got to realize gossip is not gossip unless there's someone to listen to it. Okay? And that means when someone's gossiping, that means we don't engage with it. We don't listen. That means if someone comes to you in person and starts gossiping, they start sharing something, our first response would be, that's interesting, but have you talked to them about it? Why don't we talk to them together? Can I call them and get the information to make sure what you're telling me? I'm telling you, when you start doing that, when you start pushing back against gossip, it's going to stop it. It's going to stop it when we start letting people know that we're not just going to listen to it and go and spread it to someone else. The same thing online. When you read something online, I'm saying that it's not creating drama, But there have been times I've read something online and I've gone on and sent a private message to them and tried to do it in a loving way and said, hey, I really don't think you need to be sharing this. And just to make, you know, I don't post it out to create drama for everyone to see. Or maybe you pick up the phone and say, hey, I saw what you posted. Why don't you think about that? It may be perceived wrong. It may, you know, because I think sometimes people post without thinking. And so for us, we've just got to realize gossip is not gossip without someone to listen to it. So we need to cut off the audience for gossip. And this goes in church. This goes at work. Let's be honest. Your workplace is one of the places that you can probably hear more gossip about more people, about more things than anywhere. And a lot of times it seems innocent enough. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, that's pretty bad. Or, oh, let me tell you about that. You know, and if you wouldn't say what you're saying with that person, if that person is standing right beside you and you would still say it, then that's a pretty good indication that it may not be gossip, that it's actually a concern. But if you're saying something that you would not repeat if that person was anywhere around you, if they knew you were saying it, I'm just telling you, it's gossip. We've got to learn the destructive power of gossip. It tears apart churches. It tears apart friendships. And we see it on church, you know, we see it online all the time. The second thing that I think we see online is envy. Social media is great at fueling this. You see pictures of someone on vacation and you're like, man, I can't believe they got to do that. And I'm here stuck at home. Or you see someone bought a new car and your first thought is, well, how did they get the money to do that? Must be nice, right? I mean, have y'all ever had those type of thoughts, or am I the only sinner in the room? This is a problem in social media. Again, we're seeing the airbrushed false reality of the world around us instead of what's really true. In the first week of this series, I talked about envy a little bit, and I said envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives while ignoring God's goodness in your own life. So you resent when God is good in other people's life and you kind of ignore it and you don't realize how much he's blessed you. And so you complain about not being blessed while you look at someone else and you resent them for how they have been blessed. And we talked about this in that first week. What you focus on grows. And if you think about it, what you think about expands, and what you dwell upon determines your destiny. And when we just constantly focus on what we don't have, what happens? We're not content. The Bible has a lot about being content. Read the book of Philippians and you'll see Paul talking over and over and over again about what it means to be content. And it's not based on what you have or what you don't have. It's based on whose you are. And if you're in Christ, you have every reason to be content in this life because Jesus is enough. Envy is the only sin that I can think of that is really no fun at all. All right, let's be honest. There's some sin that in the season, it seems fun. Envy's not even fun when you're doing it. It begins with these negative feelings of inferiority, and it progresses into this resentment, and then it leads you into a deeper sin. And even when envy gets what it wants, the destruction of what someone else has, man, it just all of a sudden then you have that false, you just have that emptiness and you look for something else to be jealous about. And so I think for us, we've got to realize that when we're envy, when we're jealous, it brings up all these thoughts of comparison. We're all constantly comparing ourselves to each other. It brings up depression because I don't have what I want. It brings up this discontentment. And it makes us say things and hurt feelings and destroy relationships. James talks about this, and he talks about how this leads to other sin. He says, if you, in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, if you are wise and you understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. So there's one thing it does. When we're jealous, we start boasting and we start lying about what we do, right? We push other people down while we lift ourselves up. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. And so jealousy and envy, they're a gateway sin, right? They're kind of a gateway because it opens up the door to more and more. And he keeps going, verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times. It's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it's always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So when we're envy and jealous, we're the opposite of this. Instead of being peace-loving and gentle and full of mercy, we're harsh. We're creating not peace, we're creating conflict. And so jealousy is a form of insecurity. It's a form of insecurity because you think that you are not good enough and what you have is not good enough. And so you're jealous of people who have more than what you have, or who you think have it better than what you have. And I want to give you just a few things you can do if you're struggling with this. If you're jealous, if you're envious, the first thing you need to do, you just need to thank God for the success of the person that you envy. I mean, sincerely, you just start saying, God, when you start feeling those feelings of jealousy rise up or envy, you just start thanking God, I am so thankful you have blessed them and their family. I am so thankful that they were able to get away and relax and have a vacation, and they've been able to have that new car or buy that new house or whatever it is you're jealous over. Or if you're like me, you're like, oh man, they've got that new gas grill or that new pellet grill that I want, or they got this new, whatever it is, or fishing boat or fishing rod or rifle. I don't care what. Whatever it is that you see and you're like, man, I want that. Just start thanking God that they've got it. And I'm telling you, this is one of the ways we just break that in our life. We just start thanking God for what God has given them. Jesus told us we need to pray for our enemies as one way of doing good for them. You know, instead of viewing them as your enemy, we just pray for them. Just keep praying for them. Then we ask God to keep blessing them. And this is where it gets hard, because we want to say, God, don't bless them, bless me now. It's my turn. You know, God, you've already blessed them enough. They have more than they need. Just bless me now. No, God, thank you for blessing them. Keep blessing them. Keep blessing them. This is hard, right? And then we start publicly praising the other person that we're envious of. Now I'm stepping on toes. We don't like doing this. We don't like to say, hey, I want to tell you about so-and-so, and I'm so, I mean, and just start praising them publicly. I'm so thankful for what they've done and how they've impacted my life and how they've helped others. And we start looking for those positive things that they have done. When we do this, what we're doing is we're being intentional about celebrating the blessing of God. We're being intentional. Instead of being envious and jealous, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, God, I'm just thankful that you have blessed us. And this could be materially, it could be relationally, it could be, I mean, there's lots of things we can be envious of. If you're a parent, you're probably looking around sometimes and saying, I wish my kids acted like their kids, right? Or I wish, I mean, whatever it is, or I wish I had a better job. I don't like my job. I like that person's job. I want that job. But instead of being envious and jealous, let's start this praising God for giving them the desires of their heart. And it's interesting that many times the person you're jealous of is also jealous of you. A lot of times it's a matter of perspective. And when we start praising them, we start thanking God, what it does, it builds up contentment in our own life. And there's one third and final way that we can destroy friendships, and it's judgment. And I think this is the bad one we see right now. This is the bad one. Social media can bring out the best, but it can also bring out the worst. There are people waiting online just to comment and criticize and shame and judge. You know, Jennifer and I, Luke had a couple of concerts this week. They were both outside. We were careful, social distance, all that stuff. We did everything we can. But I was afraid to even post anything about what I did this week because I'm like, oh man, someone's going to judge you, right, for going anywhere right now. That's the world we live in. You can't post anything. And can I just tell you, right, you can wear a mask, you can wash your hands, you can keep your distance, and you can still get coronavirus. I mean, you cannot completely eliminate your risk. All it takes is one time being around someone who has it that doesn't know they have it. You can do everything. So why are we judging people and shaming people who do have it? It makes no sense to me. Instead of showing compassion, what we see is we're seeing people get mad. And I'm just seeing, you know, this judgment is driving me crazy because I see so much of it on social media. And you get judged if you wear a mask, you get judged if you don't wear a mask. You get judged if you go somewhere, you get judged if you just stay at home. People are just, it's victim shaming in a lot of ways is what we're seeing. And I want to challenge the church, challenge you online who are watching too. Instead of constantly complaining about everything, why don't you start looking for ways to build each other up? Instead of constantly judging each other, let's look for ways that we can encourage each other. I think Matthew 7 is one of the most quoted and one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. And this is a verse you've probably heard. It says, "Do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why do you worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think about saying to a friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." There's just a great deal of confusion about these words, but there's a great deal of power in these words too. And so being judgmental, this verse pretty much tells us a few things. It says, one, don't say one thing and do another. Don't be a hypocrite. Right? Don't be a hypocrite. That you've got to judge yourself first and judge yourself correctly. In other words, you've got to have the integrity to deal with the sin in your own life before you start trying to fix everyone else. And then it says you've got to give to others the same kind of understanding, grace, and forgiveness that God has given you. In other words, you've got to show mercy. And if we just started applying this online, it would change so much. Instead of just blasting away, instead of trying to constantly bash, I've seen this a lot lately, and it comes from a position of being judgmental, is people blasting our community. I can't believe our numbers are so high and people are so terrible, and I can't believe they're just blasting away all the time. Instead of trying to find a solution, all they do is complain. We've got to take the plank out of our own eye before we can start fixing the speck in each other's. Doesn't mean that verse is not a verse that tells you, hey, you have a free license to sin as much as you want and nobody can tell and can talk to you about your sin in your life. But it's not to be used to tell people to pull back and never talk to you about anything. And so, again, I see all this stuff going on, the envy and the jealousy this whole judgmental attitude that people have. And it just kind of brings me to my final point. Instead of destroying friendships, let's build godly relationships based on love. You look at verses, and I mean, everybody in the Bible, you just look through the New Testament. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "Let love be your highest goal." John wrote, "If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead." James wrote, "It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself." Peter wrote, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sin. Over and over and over again, it doesn't matter who's writing in the New Testament, we see the importance of loving each other. And the more we learn to love, the more we reflect Christ. And what I want to do this morning, as part of our response time, I just want to share Galatians 5, 22 and 23, a well-known passage here. And I want you, as you read this, I want you to think about if someone took everything you wrote, and again, this may be private messages, this may be public messages, this may be text, this may be voicemails. They took everything you created online and you ran it through this filter. Is this how they would describe you as a person? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that describe you? If you're watching online, I'm telling you, when you start using this as a filter for what we write, for what we share, you're going to find out real quickly that as a mature believer, we're called to interact with the world differently. It's countercultural. It requires some vulnerability. It requires some humility. I'm just, over and over again, we see stuff online and maybe we need to pull back. Maybe we need to unfollow. Maybe we need to snooze or block or whatever it is. But what we've got to learn for ourselves is what we can control. Is this is how we have to start acting. I love when you look at the life of Jesus. He just says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. When they asked him to boil down everything in the Old Testament, all the law and the prophets, that's what he said. And so I want to challenge all of us this morning. From beginning to end, nothing is more important than the relationships in our life. God created you to be in relationship with him, and God created you to live in relationship with others around you. And so if you don't have a relationship with God, that's where we start. That's where we start fixing things. But then from there, we start working on our relationships with others. And this week, that's what we're focusing on, how we can build better relationships, and we can use online social media to do that. Next week, we're going to be going, and let's see how we can turn that into a social ministry. But for right now, let's pray. The praise team's going to come back up, and we're going to close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your blessings in our life. We're so thankful that you have blessed others. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be jealous or envious or to be gossip, people known for our gossip I just pray, Lord, you'd help us not to be judgmental either. Lord, you have given us such a wonderful gift, a gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we have a relationship with Jesus, it changes everything about our life. It changes how we interact. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more that these fruit of the Spirit are grown in our life and produced in our life. And so help us to be people known by our fruit, to be known by our love, to be known by how we interact and treat others. Help us to be known by people who are compassionate, to be known what we're for instead of what we're against. Lord, I pray that as a church that we would stay true to your word, that we would stay faithful to your word. But Lord, I pray that we would be people who can constantly reach out and share the love of Christ and the hope of Christ with a world that desperately needs it. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And help us, Lord, to run what we do, what we say, what we post through this filter of, does it really display the fruit of the Spirit in this world around us? We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we close, our response time is just like always. You can stay right where you are. Praise God. You can come up and to the cross and write out prayer requests. Leave them there. You can come up and receive communion. I'll be in the back if you want to talk, if you want to pray. And you can just stay right where you are and praise God. Let's stand together as we close.